Movie Jail.
Cookie Monster.
Apparently, that I've heard an American Pickle, his new movie on HBO Crave, whatever, is really good.
Really?
That's what I've heard.
I do want to watch it.
That's what I heard Clayton at the water cooler at work.
Oh, yeah?
Which I've been back at.
But you were only there by yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody has their own studio.
Everyone has their own water
production
cooler.
Yeah, everybody has their own production office water cooler. It's actually not bad.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everyone.
I'm Clayton.
I'm Jordy.
This is the Props Cast.
Welcome home, bro.
Welcome home.
This is the first one with just us and, well, at least a one episode we did with three or four people.
It's hard to gauge how much time has passed.
It really is.
It's going to be easier for you now that you're back at work.
Because there's more to do.
Jordy's back at work. I'm still not working yet. My show hasn't started yet. But you know, I'm still in that thing where like every day is just a day. It's like, is it
what
a weekend?
Time is it? What day is it? Oh,
how many days have passed since this has happened?
I will say COVID at work is hard. And not like it's hard, but it's difficult. You can tell it's going to be trying on people, especially when we're shooting.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to add to a lot of people's stress. I feel bad for the people in charge of certain things and real world things, crossover people that have to deal with the public and, you know, that end of it. So I think for us crew people, all we can do is try our best to just really carry our own weight, you know, because it's not easy for these people trying to put it together. It's not, right?
Oh, no. I had a long lunch with a friend of mine who has been instrumental in putting these things in place.
For the BC film?
Yeah. She's just like, it's just been constant. Like, she's been working this whole time.
To make it happen.
Yeah.
And I think we all have to show our gratitude and respect for that, because when you hear about it from your couch in quarantine, you're like, well, I had all my suggestions, right?
Yeah.
And in the end, it's like,
but it's all got to work together,
really,
right?
Yeah, exactly. And so these people have done a lot of work.
Every department has unique challenges that all have to work together with other departments to make it all happen. It's like, and it's already a difficult, logistically straining
business
right? Just industry, even on the best of days,
it is. So now we have to deal with this shit. Like, even I've been trying to wear a mask for 10 hours, like even just in my car, driving around. Not easy to do.
No,
you know,
I have a hard time just after half an hour.
I find the cloth, like they issue us masks. Disney has like these approved masks.
Yeah,
so the ones that are paper, they're lighter. But you know how when you kind of breathe into them and you kind of get that papery kind of gross smell, and you think it's your breath, but it's not. It's the pulp that they're made from. Or maybe it is my breath. I don't know. Who knows? But
you've been eating a lot of paper?
Yeah. Well, usually I have an onion 3 times a day, just a raw onion. Usually just grab it off my belt. Anywho.
Nice one.
No, but I don't know. I just want everybody to, you know, in film, just to remain calm and be kind and be respectful of strength and unity, right? I know
it's words of our
stupid,
Bonnie Henry. Yeah,
it's a stupid kind of saying, but it's like,
no, because it's easy to forget.
Right? It is.
It's easy to forget to just be like, everyone's dealing with it.
Yeah,
everyone's in the same boat. We all have to do our best, better than our best.
And we have to be really kind to each other and be like, oh, I guess you know that. And I know they're talking about putting a lot of things in place, like that shift change thing that I was talking about. Yeah. That's apparently happening.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so when they're lighting, it's like nobody's on stage except for the people that
know. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. So then when we're rolling, when the actors go in, there's all these zones and stuff. It's quite intensive.
Yeah, my friend Amy was telling me about the zones.
Yeah. Good ideas, though, I believe.
Yeah. The thing is, like, I mean, we'll see. It'll massage itself into a flow eventually, right? Yeah,
exactly.
Like, it'll be like,
first awkward, and then
you start getting into it, right?
And the worst part is just at the time that we master it, the art of working in COVID, they'll have a vaccine. No, I swear to God, that's what will happen.
No, of course.
And then we'll have to.
The best part is, and I think what we should do is that we should, on the podcast while it's all happening, talk about it in right. great detail so that in 2024, when we can listen back to it and be like, what crazy times.
Well, I was listening to the Loser Bird Awards.
Yeah.
And we're talking about COVID.
That's probably about.
And at the time, all the shows had just shut down for 2 weeks. Do you remember that?
See, okay, I had this conversation with somebody.
Yeah.
I was like, do you remember when we thought it was only 2 weeks? 2 weeks. And they were like, no, 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 we all know. I'm like, no.
It's on our podcast.
Nobody fucking knew.
No, there's evidence of it. Recorded evidence.
No, that's what I mean. Is like, nobody knew it was going to be like this.
We were talking about being sick of COVID, too.
Before
me and you were like, man, I'm sick of it. And it was like just when we went on our 2 week hiatus. Well, we're going to shut down for 2 weeks. And what's it been? 6 months almost?
Yeah.
It's been almost 6 months, dude.
Yeah.
Fuck.
It's great that things are happening, though.
People are moving on up. Okay. Do you want to do a quick seen anything lately? Because I know you have, and I know I have. It's kind of a weird one.
I didn't know if you'd watched it, and it was like, if you hadn't seen it, I'm not going to bring it up.
Okay. You start with it.
Here's seen anything lately, a coordinated attack.
Yeah.
Jordy and I both watched Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Yes, Clayton.
It just came out.
What are your thoughts?
It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Really?
And I had pretty low expectations.
The weird part was before I watch a movie, I usually look it up on Rotten Tomatoes. I know it's bad that I do that, but usually I do that, especially if I know nothing about
even it. Even if it just came out?
No, well, not if it just came out, but if it's been out. And I know this just came out, but yeah. I don't know. I would rather. I don't like taking risks, Clayton.
Fair enough.
But you know what I mean? I don't want to waste my time because it's like if it's good, if it's like below 30%, I'm not going to watch it. I'm just not.
Yeah, no, fair. What was it at?
81.
Oh, shit.
Bill and Ted's. So I look it up on Rotten Tomatoes, okay? I'm like, okay, I'll look it up.
81.
81 fucking percent. That's on 115 reviews, dude. Because at first I'm like, oh, it just came out. That might be like 10 reviews.
Yeah.
No, no, no. 115 critic reviews, dude. 80 fucking one. And I'm like, I guess everybody smoked a lot of fucking laser lettuce over the weekend and watched Bill and Ted's, all these critics. Because then, I don't know. To me, it was so bad, it's not even worth, I don't know. Like, to me, it just looked like one big long Super Bowl commercial.
It kind of did, didn't it?
It was just like CGI and weird shots
I thought it just had too much going on.
Way too much going on.
Like, there were like 5 storylines happening. Oh,
it was so painful, dude.
And I was like, you know, you could have picked any of those storylines, and then that would have been, a better movie just to like focus on. Like, the girls picking up all the musicians. I was like,
yeah,
I could get on board with that if they had done it a little bit more. Like, it didn't seem like they put a lot of thought into who they were going to get. And in the end, it didn't matter.
It was sort of like, it was cringy, a lot of it. And to me, it was, I don't like when, and I remembered this about the old one. When I was a kid and they made those characters, those historical characters, kind of goofy, kind of dumb and sort of silly and stuff.
Yeah.
It worked because of who it was, maybe, like when it was Napoleon.
Because of the characters. Like, a lot of them didn't speak English.
Yeah, or something. But I didn't like how they were kind of dumb in this. Or they were kind of, like, Jimi Hendrix was kind of aloof. And who were the other ones?
Louis
Armstrong was, you know.
I didn't like that performance.
It was just kind of goofy. Yeah. And I was just like, ugh.
I did like the part where Hendrix is playing along with Mozart when he's like outside I was like, that's classic Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
Cause like, that's what it was. The old ones.
I know. The first one was good. Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
I didn't like Bogus Journey. Yeah. I guess I'm not a true Bill and Ted fan.
You kind of are though, because you definitely quote it. But
the first one is so good. The younger siblings take Napoleon to the bowling alley.
Yes. And that worked. Right? That stuff. I didn't like the Kid Cudi too. Oh my God, was he bad.
Yeah.
He's not. Kid Cudi will definitely not be a Will Smith. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, unless they, he learns they how did to that. Act. I've seen that gag before where they're like, okay, let's get someone who you don't think would be a genius in quantum physics and mechanics and then make them, like, give them all these lines. Like, I could, I'm like, he's just reading lines. Yeah. There's no, I don't know what he's talking about. I've seen that gag done and it worked. And then they tried it again and it didn't work.
It was not good. It wasn't a good movie. It was a bizarrely pieced together. The editing was terrible. The shots were terrible. You could barely make out. There was some
really bad green screen.
Keanu Reeves didn't look right in it.
No, he didn't look like himself. There was something weird,
about him. Like, he had a shaven face, and I don't know. It was just, I was off. Everything was off.
I thought Alex Winter was not bad, though.
Alex Winter wasn't bad, and when they were, like, old men, I thought, oh, Alex Winter can still... kind of act.
I mean, I like that idea of they're going to meet all these different versions of themselves. I was like,
yeah,
I don't know.
The princesses retiring and dude, it just wasn't good. There's way too much CGI. Too much.
Yeah.
Like, they're always standing up against, and they kind of flatten everything. Like, instead of give it sort of like a depth and do like a, see, that's why it's important for moving forward as filmmakers, not that me and you are like certified filmmakers, but for the people out there, it's like, it's really important to have a combination of CGI and real sets.
Correct.
Sorry to say, it's never work with just green screen.
That's why not. Jurassic Park worked.
And that's why most things that Steven Spielberg does, when you see it, because he's a master, he wrote the book on integrating sets and green screen, right?
Exactly.
Minority Report, Jurassic Park.
And even, like, not Spielberg, but remember the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy movie?
Yeah.
When they had a lot, on purpose they did that, a lot of puppets and, like, full animatronic aliens. Because you can tell the difference. And that was only 2005. Like, that's still...
And no matter how good it gets, like, I know everybody has this thing of, oh, one day it'll be just CGI people. It won't be.
It won't be.
Because people won't want to watch that.
No.
That's animation, right? Which people like, but it can't be fully that, right? There has to be a balance.
Exactly.
I don't know. There was a lot of where they're just put them right up against the green screen.
And they did full scenes
of it.
When they go to the future thing. I was like, they're like floating on the background. There's no shadows.
I know. It was so bad.
Anyway. Oh, I'm sorry.
How did it get 81%?
I'm sorry. I read a review that was like, it's just a fun, like, people didn't take it seriously from the get-go. People like, it's just like a trip to Nostalgia Town.
But was it even that?
I don't even know.
I didn't find anything
nostalgic about it. I also didn't like that. I like the idea that they both have daughters. I was like,
and the daughters were decent.
See, I was gonna say that I didn't like how they were like just imitating
them. Yeah,
Bill and Ted, like, as young.
It was a valiant effort.
Yeah, they
fallen flat.
I just didn't like the idea of it. I thought the performances were good. I like Samara Weaving, the blonde, Bill's daughter.
Bill's daughter, right?
I've seen her in other stuff. She's actually a very good actress.
Right.
But I was just like, I don't know. I didn't buy that. I was like, why can't they just be normal 2020 teen girls? You know,
they had to be like, so, because in the 90s.
Why are you acting like a 90s surfer?
Well, that was funny then.
Where would you get that?
I don't know if that's funny.
Where would you get that parlance now? Like, do you know anybody that talks like that now? No. Especially not like Gen Z.
Okay, anyway. I know they have a whole different parlance, don't they?
Parlance. Do you like that? The parlance of our time.
Anyway, moving on.
Okay, moving on. Should we get into our topic here?
Yes, I think we should.
Do you want to explain it?
Okay.
This is a great topic that Jordy came up with and that I didn't even know about.
Okay, so I'll give the backstory about it.
Yeah.
One time I was on set and I was talking to, and I'm not going to name names, but I was talking to a director / producer who is somewhat of a big player in Hollywood, okay? He's a showrunner that has done some pretty big hits. Hard-ass guy, very serious guy. You got to have your fucking shit together when you work with him because he's, you know, tells it how it is, right?
I don't even know if I know this story. Continue.
And I say to him, he says to me, because me and him used to talk about football and stuff, right? And we're talking about movies that we like. And he goes, he goes, yeah, what have you seen lately that you really loved? And I go, this was when Jesse James first came out, right?
The Assassination of Jesse James. Yeah, you fucking love that movie.
And I go, well, I did see it, the assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford. I loved it. I thought it was a great movie. I know it's really slow and really boring, and it is, right? But it's such a fucking beautiful movie.
I didn't think it was boring, but keep going.
Yeah, some people do.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, I watched it. It was pretty slow. And he goes, it didn't make much money. And I go, yeah. And he goes, I know they wanted it to, like they thought it was going to, because they thought it was going to be like a big hit,
oh, Brad Pitt,
and you know, Casey all this. Affleck, yeah, exactly. Right. And he goes, yeah, he shakes his head and goes, that poor director, he'll be in movie jail for a while. And I go, oh, what do you mean movie jail? And he tells me this whole story about how in Hollywood among directors, there's kind of this unspoken thing that they call movie jail. And where if you make a bad movie, it's more to do with the flop aspect of it.
Yeah, it's about recouping costs. And
and there's a lot of aspects that go into it. And he said it can be for a few different reasons. But he said mostly it's if a studio, they have a really great baby script that they love from its infancy and they love it. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, they want to make money off it, or they want it to be their Oscar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, piece, yeah. The contender.
Right? The Oscar contender.
Yeah.
Then they grow it from its infancy. And he was explaining that it's kind of like a child to them, right?
This is. Are you talking about like an in-house idea?
Yeah. So somebody will buy a script.
Yeah.
Right. And then they'll develop it. Right. And then they'll put so-and-so attached to it. And they'll put so-and-so. Like I'm talking about like Fox Searchlight and
yeah.
all these different studios, right?
And it's probably usually like 5 years in the making just to get it
greenlit. Yeah, or even more.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at least back then it was. Maybe the things have changed.
Yeah.
Obviously. But so anyways, he's saying that when they watch this thing grow and then it does get made and it's a complete flop and or it's terrible and gets nominated for nothing, they kind of hold the director accountable.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Hence putting him or her into
movie jail.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it might be kind of a hard thing for people. Not hard to explain for us, but
it's sort of, yeah, it's a grudge.
It is.
It's just a grudge.
And it's like probably
you don't get, if you're in movie jail, you don't get job offers.
No,
you don't get, you know, you're not let inside the room.
No. And it's interesting because some people get put in. And I feel like they don't deserve to.
Well, that's right? And that's the thing, right? Because as you and I know, the director's not always fully in charge.
No, fuck no.
Right?
And sometimes they always have two mooks breathing down their necks, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, how about this and how about that? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You know, fuck, dude. But sometimes they are in charge and sometimes they fuck it up.
Yes.
Royally.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, let's be real here for a minute. For anyone out there, a director, I mean, if you really want to hear a director explain what a director should do, I would say listen to Quentin Tarantino because he kind of explains it the best, right?
Yeah.
He talks about getting the crew to do exactly what you want them to execute your vision through the crew itself, right?
Yeah.
And then really explain what you want.
There was a director being like, well, you know, I'm trying to learn like how to shoot stuff, like pick the camera angles and light it and stuff. And someone was like, no, that's why you have a director of photography.
Yeah.
You let them do that because that's what they're good at. Yeah, you, exactly. You surround yourself with people that have the skills to do all the things, right?
Exactly.
And it's true.
It is true. And there's movies mostly get made in prep.
There is a difference, though, between a Tarantino or, you know, Christopher Nolan or, you know, Stanley Kubrick, where they're kind of in charge of their own shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they kind of don't run the risk of being in movie jail. They just run the risk of losing their own money.
Well, and I think some of them are so good at it that the confidence is just there.
Yeah.
That it's just not going to be a bad movie. It's not really going to be a flop per se, right?
Mm.
And like we were saying before, it is subjective, some of this. And there might be other reasons behind it. And sometimes people get put in TV jail. They used to anyway, right? Because they would be big feature guys and they end up doing TV for the rest of their life, which is fine.
Because that's the only thing they can do. Now I feel like the lines between TV and film are so blurred.
They are very. Back in the day, like even 5 years ago, they were very, very...
Yeah, now it's like...
Deep.
Because now you've got all these A-list film actors...
Doing TV.
And it's like great
And for doing them. It well.
And it's great for them.
Yeah, it's great for everybody. Well, and eventually too, I think that movies... it's tough to say. I mean, I'm not going to say I think movies will be gone, but I think they'll be different.
It's weird, isn't it, though? Because like... Films are trying to do the franchise thing. Like everything's a franchise now.
Yeah.
Which is just extended TV series.
Yeah.
It's like to do a standalone, like hour and a half movie is like, there's no, hardly have any, a market for that anymore.
I know, man.
It's weird, right?
That's why I'm just interested in like, I don't know. I have a few people in my movie jail list that I think should not be there.
Oh, yeah.
There's one woman. Yeah. I mean, you go first. Do you want to go first?
I'll go first.
Let's talk about some of these poor people. We pick some directors.
Yeah, but actors can also be in movie jail.
Oh, for sure they can.
And I have a side story I want
to
learn. Do you? Yeah.
I never picked any actors, but I could probably just.
Well, this was just a thing that I found out when I was doing research. So my first director is Jan de Bont.
Oh, okay.
Do you know who he is?
No.
So he began as a director of photography, cinematographer.
Yeah.
He DP'd Die Hard.
Oh, okay.
Hunt for Red October, Flatliners, Basic Instinct, among others.
So he's done some shit.
He's no stranger, right?
Yeah.
So then he gets tapped for his first director gig, which is Speed.
Oh.
Okay, so Speed.
Which was pretty rad.
Pretty rad. The up-and-comer Keanu Reeves is cast to be Fox's new action star. This is, nice. I think, after Point Break, maybe.
Right.
Joss Whedon was one of the co-writers on Speed, little known fact. So this guy, Jan de Bont, directed Speed, followed it up with Twister.
Oh, I'm looking at his IMDb.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
I love Twister, man.
So this is like mid-90s. This guy seems like he can't do anything. He's on top. Speed and Twister. Like, that's a Metacritic rating of 78 and then 68.
Right.
It's not bad for his first two films.
Not bad at all.
Now, he gets a little cocky. And here's what...
Probably too cocky.
Here's what lands him in movie jail. Speed 2. He wrote, produced, and directed Speed 2. What? Okay, this is 1997.
And they couldn't get Keanu Reeves, as it turns out.
Keanu Reeves. Now, here's the side story. Keanu Reeves said the idea was stupid and turned it down. And
Keanu Reeves is beloved by most people, mostly because of things like that.
Now, he says he was put in Fox movie jail for 11 years because he turned it down.
Okay. Did it make a difference to him?
Well.
Then he got Matrix.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's done very well for himself. But here's the thing, right? So Metacritic score of 23 for Speed 2.
Holy
just
fuck.
Fucking panned by the critics.
And they replaced Keanu Reeves with Jason Patrick.
Sandra Bullock it regrets it. She's
I never saw it.
I did.
Did you? Bad? Yeah.
So bad. So they take the bus and they turn it into a cruise ship.
No. Like, oh, they do. A Seaborn Legend crew. No, they didn't.
Yeah. And Sandra Bullock playing the same character.
It wasn't that the cruise ship couldn't go below a certain speed, though, right?
It was like it couldn't stop. I don't remember. It didn't make any fucking sense.
How could I just
remember
there
was like Zodiac boats, too.
Oh, my God, dude. What? How did this... This needs to be on that podcast. How did that get made?
So he's in big trouble.
There's the boat. There it is.
It's huge. Oh, my God.
he's in trouble.
He's in trouble, but he gets a couple more chances. He directs The Haunting in 1999, starring Liam Neeson, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Owen Wilson.
Also didn't do that well.
Didn't do well. He gets one last
That's
chance.
A good cast, too.
Laura Catherine Croft, Zeta-Jones. The Tomb Raider, Cradle of Life. So the sequel to the Angelina Jolie Tomb Raider.
Oh, okay. Film.
Okay. Bombs again.
Yeah.
And I saw that one too. It is not good. Not that the first one was really good, but
name me a movie with Angelina Jolie that's good. Hard to think of one, right? Anyway, moving on.
A lot of people like Salt. I saw it and I didn't like it. But I thought that Salt opened the doors for movies like Atomic Blonde, which I did like.
All I'm going to say is she's the Roberta Luongo of Hollywood. That's all I'm saying. Okay. That's it. We'll leave it at that.
That's a deep cut if you're a major hockey fan or a Vancouverite.
Jan DeBont.
So I just thought it was funny that, well, it's not funny, but Jan DeBont was put into movie jail for making Speed 2, and Keanu was put in movie jail for saying no to Speed 2.
But that's such fucking scenario. Bullshit, though, because it's like, Fox, like, come on. Like, if the movie did suck, don't retroactively hate him.
Well, they were mad at him before it got made. Because he did Point Break and Speed, and I think another movie for Fox, and they were grooming him to be like their action star.
But then, well, who did Matrix? Warner? Didn't even matter. Fuck.
Not Fox.
You can't fuck with Keanu Reeves, dude. Okay, so what did Jan DeBont do after all this?
Nothing.
Business. No, but he didn't.
He's produced.
Oh, you're right. Fuck, he hasn't done anything.
He's produced a couple things, but he is no longer directing.
God damn.
Not even TV, according to
him. He's not even DOPing anything. Well, he did go on to DOP some things, but not. He did. Jesus, man. He did. This guy's a hard
fucking
time server, bro.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Off the
map. Well, he's probably pretty old now, but not that old.
He had a good run.
Yeah. Too bad. Maybe he just took all his money. He was a producer on Minority Report.
Yeah.
This happens, man. This is what we're talking about.
This is what we're talking about.
This is the topic.
So these are examples of people who, you know, I mean, the thing is that he did it kind of to himself because he wrote Speed 2 and then decided to produce and direct it. So he kind of set himself up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I do know what you mean. And it's still a tough one to see people go to jail like this.
Okay, do you have one?
Okay, my first guy is Frank Darabont.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I almost picked him, and I'm glad that you picked him, because this is a sad tale, I think.
Well, and like, I don't follow any director, really. I mean, I have my two favorite. I have like my three or four favorite directors.
Who are your favorites?
My favorites?
Yeah.
Scorsese, I know that it's cliche, but I can't help it.
Yeah, but the cliches are usually for a reason, right?
Yeah, exactly. I love Scorsese. I love Andrew Dominik.
Oh, who did he do?
And you know what? We can sidebar him for honorable mentions later.
Okay.
He's sort of in movie jail. Well, he's the one who directed Jesse James.
Oh.
So that's the guy that this guy who originally told me about movie jail.
He was right.
He was talking about him.
Right.
And he sort of has, but he did do another movie, which was also good.
There are some redemption stories, and my last one is a redemption story. Nice. So we'll get to that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Speaking of
redemption,
what?
Frank Darabont.
Oh, Frank Darabont. Yeah, exactly.
Directed Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, nice one. I was like, what? What are you trying to say? No, but my other favorite directors, Paul Thomas Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
I love. Yeah. And I love.
Me too.
Catherine Bigelow. Love her.
What did she do?
Fuck. Hurt Locker.
Oh, yeah.
Zero Dark Thirty. She's awesome.
Yeah,
she's fucking awesome.
See, I haven't seen either of those movies, so.
If Catherine Bigelow can recreate reality to me, like when you're watching her movies, you feel like you're watching the thing actually take place.
See, that's, yeah.
I don't feel like I'm watching a movie when I'm watching her movies.
Yeah, that's a fantastic skill. Yeah. That's a true director skill.
Okay, anyways, Frank Darabont didn't do much. He did a couple of short films, blah, blah, blah. Then he got The Shawshank Redemption,
mm-hmm.
right? Which, like we've talked about before, was a huge financial flop at the time
mm-hmm.
for some fucking reason. Although, as of now, it is considered the top one or two movies ever made.
Yeah.
By
a bunch of different lists.
Lists. But at the time, it was rated well, but at the time, it did not make any money at all, right?
Yeah, and I feel like that was probably an expensive movie to make.
It probably wasn't cheap.
It's period, a period piece. And all yeah, exactly. Period.
Oh, for sure. That was it.
Tim Robbins is like, that's like the height of his career. Morgan Freeman.
But then, exactly. Frank Darabont directed The Green Mile.
Another Stephen King adaptation. Another Stephen King adaptation. As we talked about two episodes ago.
But it was a redemption story then.
Because that one did well.
That one did really well.
How, when?
It got nominated. I think it won a couple. It got nominated for Best Picture, but didn't win.
Yeah.
And it made a lot of money. Tom Hanks, you know, anything Hanks was in back then. He was a bankable actor, big time, right?
Yeah.
Still is. But yeah, so he did The Green Mile, and then Hollywood was good with him again. So then he does The Majestic.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yep. Jim Carrey.
And it wasn't a complete failure, and it wasn't a complete flop, but it was because of Jim Carrey was such a huge star at the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the early 2000s,
yeah, you know? This is 2001, so this would have been like right after Truman Show. And,
exactly.
Yeah, and so he's starting to become like a dramatic actor as well.
And exactly. So in light of him, Frank Darabont, Jim Carrey, this is going to be a huge success for the studio, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a major fucking flop, right?
Yeah, look at that, 27 Metascore.
Yeah. Oof. And I think they were so choked about it that he kind of didn't really do much after that until he did The Mist in 2007. He did one episode of The Shield. Then he did The Mist. The Shield. I know, which was okay. Boy. But a lot of people like The Mist. The Mist is kind of a beloved.
I didn't see that because, like I said, I watched The Fog instead.
Right.
Thinking it was the same thing. Fucking idiot. So stupid.
Well, The Mist is a Stephen King novel.
Yeah, I know. And I.
Thomas Jane is in it too. Thomas Jane does a lot of Stephen King stuff.
So The Majestic, just as a side note, I've seen that movie.
Yeah, so have I. Was it that? I don't remember it being terrible.
I liked it.
Yeah, like I thought it was pretty good. We should rewatch.
And it definitely, I never connected it to Shawshank or Green Mile in terms of that director's, but now that I think about it, it did have that sort of, that same kind of tone and style. I thought it was an interesting story, and I thought Jim Carrey was pretty good in it.
But here's the thing. There's more to this story, right? So quickly on Frank Darabont. Later on, 2009, I think, he was hired to be the showrunner on The Walking Dead.
Oh.
Right?
So he was the showrunner on that?
Yeah, for like the first couple seasons, few seasons.
Oh, was he directing episodes too?
I'm not sure. I don't know if he was directing episodes, but he was the showrunner. And like he got fired and there was this big lawsuit against him.
Oh, shit.
Because he was such a fucking asshole.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Oh. That's what I read. So it's like he was hired on for The Walking Dead, and like he the stories that came out of that were just fucking unbelievable. Like he was on set like just screaming at people. He wrote this fucking email that was just insane. Like saying, like threatening people, like he was writing well, I can read it. This is what his email said in 2011 to another producer. I am in a state of boiling rage right now. Everybody, especially our directors, better wake the fuck up and pay attention. I will start killing people and throwing bodies out the door. This is an email. Let's keep in mind. He said, I should have hunted them fucking down and killed them with a fucking brick, then gone and burned down their homes. So needless to say, he was fired. And his behavior on set. So this makes me think that he's just a total fucking asshole, right? And we've worked with these guys, right? Yep. Me and Clayton both. We're not going to name names. We haven't worked with Frank Darabont. But I've worked with directors who legitimately, and now this is back in the day. This has changed since. But I've worked with directors who scream at people, belittle people, just completely fucking dehumanize people, yeah. Actors on set. Like it's abuse, right? It used to be abuse. I don't want to sit here and make a list of these people that I've worked with, but needless to say, it's changed in the last 5 years for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if he was just such a fucking asshole and then the Majestic thing happened that they were like, fuck this guy. You know? Yeah.
Well, that's like you were saying earlier, like it's not just about the numbers and the exactly. money, right?
There's more to it.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. I'm not going to name names with certain actresses and actors, Katherine Heigl. that happens to them too, where they're just completely fucking ridiculous and then they lose their bankability. And then the studios are like, why the fuck would we want you if you're a complete idiot?
I know. And that's the thing that I never understood is like, where does that come from? Like, where does that...
People go crazy in their head. People go
crazy.
They go crazy.
Banana sandwich, as you say.
And they think that they're not replaceable, but they are.
But they are. Everyone's replaceable.
I mean, unless you're going to be a guy like, you know... And that's the funny part is that the most... The biggest names that I've worked with are kind of usually the nicest in a way.
Mm-hmm. Right? The most professional.
The most bankable people right now, like that I've worked with, like Ryan Reynolds, Hugh Jackman, like they're all nice people.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they're decent people.
Yeah.
Can't say anything bad about them.
Exactly.
It's always these strange.
The obscure ones.
Right? I find the washed up ones too are always fucking a little bit crazy. Because
they're bitter and they want to take it out on
you. Too much, man.
Well, there's Frank Darabont for you.
Yeah.
It's disheartening to hear because Shawshank is such a great film. And it's close to my heart. But like, that's the thing that we're all struggling with is we're finding out these, you know, certain people in the industry are huge pieces of shit.
Well, and that's going to fucking be like, happen, man.
Can you still love those movies? It's harder with actors because they're in the movie.
Yeah. And I mean, right? I think if you want, like you can separate the art from the people.
I think you can. So I think some people can and some people can't.
Exactly.
And I think that you just have to accept that.
And sometimes when you meet your heroes, it's great. And other times it's not.
Right? Yes.
And it happens to just working in film in itself. Like you, and I mean, I used to make fun of you about it, right? Because, you know, I felt like at the beginning of certain shows, I felt bad for you because you'd be excited about the material. Yeah. And then by the end of it, it's like you get beaten down so badly.
So beaten down.
That you just like, you have no light in your eyes. You know what I mean? And it's sad, but that's what happens. And sometimes, and that's the thing about the movie itself. Like you can have the best time of your life working on something.
Yeah.
And it'll be terrible. The actual end product.
Yeah.
And then you can go through hell on another show and it actually turns out to be like Oscar nominated.
Yeah. And you know what? This is something that non-film people will not understand, but when you're making something, especially when it's a feature, because there's nothing to gauge it on, you have no idea. Like I have read scripts where I'm like, this is amazing. And then it's a piece of shit. And then you read a script and you're like, this is
dumb.
So stupid. And then it comes out
not bad.
It makes a bunch of money at the box office and people love it.
I had serious doubts in Sonic.
Me too. Well,
serious.
I did too. Doubts. I was like, it'll be.
I mean, I just thought, I thought that you guys and the director and all those things that happened along the way, I thought it did make it a good movie. Like it was a good movie.
Yeah. The whole VFX redo thing was definitely a smart move. Worth it.
And after totally watching High Score, which maybe we'll talk about in another episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, fuck, there is a big Sonic crowd.
Huge Sonic crowd.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to move on to the next director on my list. Okay, Martin Brest.
Right.
He directed Beverly Hills Cop, Midnight Run.
Oh, jeez.
Scent of a Woman.
Wow.
Okay. So this is late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, shit.
Did you just Google?
When IMDb, his last movie comes up, and I'm like, ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, and you know it's coming. So here's where he starts getting into trouble, and it's a very quick drop off here. He directs Meet Joe Black.
Was that bad? I never saw it.
I never saw it either, so that's Brad Pitt.
I know that Brad Pitt is really good looking in it.
And it's right in that sweet spot where Brad Pitt is like the hunkiest of punks.
I was just going to say that. Right? It's his peak.
And then it was like a period piece, wasn't it?
I think he
was always in suits. Like it was kind of like.
I think that's a peak for humans.
Look at that. He's in a tux.
Do you think anybody could ever be as good looking as that?
He's in peak Brad Pitt human handsomeness.
And more than Brad Pitt. Like I think that is the best a man has ever looked in the history of humankind. I'm not joking.
So how do you fuck that up?
I don't know.
Is what we're trying to say. Because, Brad Pitt is super handsome even now.
But look at him there.
But that is... He peaked in that movie.
Yeah. And not acting-wise, but just looks-wise.
So now Martin Brest has directed Meet Joe Black, which got a 43 Metacritic rating. Not great, but not terrible.
I kind of want to watch it because I don't know. And, A, this woman, too. Like, whatever happened to her? What's her name?
Who is that?
Claire Forlani. She's kind of gone to movie jail, hasn't she? She used to be in fucking everything.
Maybe because of that movie.
Mystery Men, The Rock.
Oh, Mystery Men was so good.
Yeah.
Okay, so Martin Brest makes his final mistake.
Yeah.
He writes. This is a doozy. He directs. He produces.
He put his own money into
Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck in Geely.
Geely.
Which I had to look up how to pronounce.
Geely?
Not it got Geely. A 18 Metacritic score out of 100.
A 2.5 IMDb. Oh,
it
wow.
made $7.7 million from a $75.6 million budget.
How the fuck did it cost $75 million to make that show?
It was so bad. And I got this off the internet and I couldn't confirm it, but apparently Columbia, the studio, tried to put the bad reviews on its posters to entice people to watch it. Like they tried to turn it into
a joke.
Yeah, like a room situation. You know what I mean?
That's fucking crazy. On a $75 million
movie. It got pulled after its third week. They just pulled it out of the theater because it was an embarrassment. Now this director, Martin Brest, has not done it. Anything since. Anything. In any capacity. No producing, no writing, no directing. He's not even like a camera assistant.
He got a life sentence, dude.
He's gone.
It's like a triple homicide,
What year was that? Oh, I didn't write it down.
Oh, it was...
98 or something? 99?
2003. Oof. That's when it came out.
So that's 17 years ago.
Dude.
This poor guy.
I mean, you know, if you can't do the time... Don't do the crime. That's what I say.
I never saw Geely. Obviously, it's not really up my alley.
Oh, man.
I don't think a lot of people.
This guy's a legit candidate for this topic.
Oh yeah, he is maximum security. Like, he's gone. He's in solitary confinement.
He's gone.
He's gone.
They just put him in a fucking hole. Where is he?
He just evaporated.
He must have just moved to the fucking. I don't know. Like, he must have moved to Wisconsin or something.
Yeah, he's probably a fisherman. Not in Wisconsin.
No. Well, there is a Great Lake there.
I just had to quickly Google to make sure he wasn't dead because I would feel so bad just saying. But he's not dead. He's not dead.
Yeah, we should have done that.
He's still alive.
Frank Pierpont dead.
He's still alive.
Regardless, they died in jail. Okay. Oh, it's so mean. Okay. Who do I got?
Do you have someone on your list?
Yeah, I do. Fuck. Okay, I'm going to bring it into a different kind of... Okay, here's my thing.
Mm.
I've been hard on Netflix in the last few episodes.
That's an understatement.
So I'm going to apologize a bit to Netflix and just be like, listen, Netflix, I'm sorry for saying what I said. However... It's not really my opinion. It's just the way things are. Okay?
Okay.
But when I see newer docuseries and stuff, I'm like, no, they have been doing good things. The Last Dance was really good. High Score was really great.
Yeah.
They do a lot of great stuff. I just feel their feature films.
Their narrative feature films
yes. need to be reined in. They need to calm down.
Mm-hmm.
They need to quit making them so fucking over the top and stuff. Like, just bring them in a little bit.
Yeah.
And my next director that I'm going to talk about, I don't know why she's in movie jail.
Oh,
and neither does any of the stuff about her. Her name is Deborah Granick.
Okay.
Okay. She did Winter's Bone.
Yeah, that was a big hit.
Big hit. And then she did Leave No Trace, that show that we reviewed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? So nobody really knows. She's kind of in movie jail. She might just be a part-time, you know what I mean? But nobody really knows as to why... She has not been doing anything. And okay, let's talk about her work for a minute. I mean...
Well, Leave No Trace was only 2 years ago.
I know, but she hasn't done much in between.
Oh.
Like, fuck, man. She did a show called Stray Dog, which I don't know. I think that's a documentary. But Winter's Bone was so good. It got Jennifer Lawrence nominated. It's fucking great, man.
But I remember that being... It was causing waves. Like, it was very... They were talking about it a lot.
Yeah. And you know what I mean? I just feel like there's no reason for her to not be doing big movies right now.
Oh, look at that. She also wrote Winter's Bone and Leave No Trace. She wrote the screenplays for both.
Yeah, exactly. So it got nominated for 4 Oscars, right? And
damn.
It got nominated for Best Picture. It won for Jennifer Lawrence and supporting actor John Hawkes, who's one of my favorite character actors. And it was nominated for Best Writing and Adapted Screenplay. Okay. So to me, that's kind of a surefire thing. So she doesn't do another movie. No, she does Leave No Trace. Leave No Trace, Ben Foster and Thomasin McKenzie, both fucking phenomenal actors. That show gets 100% rating on Rotten Tomato.
100%, eh?
So she's in the 100 Club. Not easy to do.
No.
Not fucking easy to do, man. Especially now. From critics? Like, how many critics all give a movie a good review? Well, not many.
No.
It's not. It's even if you get 98, that's hard enough.
Yeah.
So anyways, here's my idea. Here's my calling card out to Netflix. Ditch Peter Berg and give Deborah Granik a fair shake at writing and doing some stuff.
Give her 100 mil. Just let her go.
Like, come on. She doesn't need 100 mil. She could
but what could she do with 100 mil?
Well, she could make probably 10 amazing movies. Yeah. You're right?
Gonna get your money's worth.
And then they can take Spencer Confidential and just forget it never existed. Like, Netflix might need to check their own movie jail. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Who are their people, right, that need to be in there? I don't know. That's all I'm going to say about Deborah Granik. She is underrated, major. Shows like that she makes, these kind of, you know, like even Leave No Trace, a story about a father and daughter who live off the grid.
Well, that was like, because we reviewed that during quarantine. In case you didn't see that one, listeners, we reviewed it. We watched it, and it's a phenomenal movie.
Excellent movie.
It's the kind of movie Jordan and I both really love because it's a very simple idea.
Yeah.
That you can go very deep into. And we both love movies like that where you're like, yeah, it's just the idea is that the dad, Ben Foster, comes back from the army serving his tours, and he's got PTSD and he can't live on the grid. Like they live out in the woods and they're like doing drills and stuff about if they get caught, and they do get caught, spoiler alert, but that's the whole
yeah. And obviously movie. The girl, the movie's about the girl
and the, yeah,
like
the
coming of age.
The girl story. Wants to grow up in a
somewhat
in normal. Society.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just, it didn't need anything, man. There was no action sequences.
No,
there was no explosions.
There's no motorbike driving on the roof, and there's no.
You could just watch these two father and daughter because they're such great actors, and this and the dynamic is so good, and the direction is so good. You can just watch them be in the woods for 30 minutes, and you're like mesmerized by it.
Yeah, and sometimes that's all you need in a movie, in a story, right?
Because that's. Oh yeah. Anyway,
I think it takes a more talented director to do that.
Totally, dude.
Right?
Totally. Than to do all these and nobody. Anyways, I'm over big action. I'm over it. It doesn't.
I know.
I'm over it.
I am too. That being said, the next like four movies I want to see are all big action movies.
But yeah, and
I'll just go see them by myself. It's okay. Okay. I have one more, and then like a one that. Okay, I have two more.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
This one's kind of an obvious one, but I had to do it. M. Night Shyamalan.
I'm glad you brought him up.
Now, this is a redemption story.
Okay.
Okay?
Is it?
I'm going to list the movies that he...
Here's the thing, though.
Okay.
Can I just quickly say before list his movies?
Yes.
Is he in movie jail?
Well...
Or is he one of these guys? He's like the Roger Stone of movie jail. Like
He is the Roger Stone.
He should be there, yet he keeps getting jobs. He keeps
weaseling his way out. And I have a theory because a lot of his movies I actually haven't seen.
See, because I've seen all of them.
All of them?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna list his...
Some of them I like.
I'm gonna list his quote-unquote successes.
Some of them I like.
His early days, and you tell me your quick opinion on
okay,
them.
Okay, and I'll just say that I think he deserves to be in movie jail. However, some of his movies I like.
Well, this is the thing, right? Because he's good. He's been given too many chances is kind of what I think. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
1999, Sixth Sense.
Of course.
Loved okay. It. Great that, movie. That movie is awesome. A classic.
Game right? changer.
Unbreakable.
Awesome. Also,
this is the following year. So he's pumping them out every 2 years now. Okay. Signs in 2002.
Signs bugged me because I thought the aliens were ridiculous, But it was a good movie. Yeah. I thought it wasn't a terrible movie.
It was popular.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I think he did so well in The Sixth Sense that he got a lot of leeway on his following films.
And he always does this thing where he'll make a whole movie, then he'll have one little thing like the alien doesn't know how to open a latch on a door. And it's like, oh, man. Like, come on. Like, that's what kept, you know what I mean? That's
well, the he's big known, thing. He's known for the twist ending, right?
And I don't mind the twist. I like the twist because I'm kind of a dullard when it comes to watching these things. Like, I don't know who's who. Like, even if I watch a bad episode of fucking TV, crime TV, I'm like, oh, wait, that was the guy? You know, oh, like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm just like that, though. I just don't try to figure things out. I just let it happen.
After Signs, I mean, Signs was a little bit less well-received than his previous two films, but then he starts going down big time. The next movie is The Village, 2004.
Loved it. Village was awesome.
I have heard great things about The Village, and I haven't seen it yet. I kind of sort of know what the twist is, but...
Clayton, you should watch it. It
doesn't matter.
You should watch it and tell me what you think.
Okay, I will. Now...
It's pretty good.
Here's where he gets... in trouble. Now he's getting in trouble. Okay. Yeah. Lady in the Water.
Also loved it.
2006. That's Paul Giamatti, right?
Because I love Paul Giamatti. I love Bryce Dallas Howard.
Oh, she's in it
too? It's so bizarre. Yeah, it's such a fucking bizarre movie. It's like bad, so bad it's good almost.
Okay, right? Well, it was so bad that it didn't make its money back. So now he's in trouble, according to the studio, okay?
Yeah.
Now he does three in a row that are just continually worse and worse and worse. The Happening...
Terrible.
The Last Airbender.
Terrible.
After Earth.
Terrible.
After Earth was described on the internet in a review that I quickly found is 2 hours of Jaden Smith walking around a lot, whining occasionally, and getting attacked by bad CGI from the early 90s.
Yeah.
So now...
They did that a little bit too much on that too, where they just had too much CGI.
Too much CGI.
Yeah.
So now that was 2013, mm-hmm. After Earth. Mm-hmm. People say he went to movie jail, but in his time in quote-unquote movie jail, he created Wayward Pines.
And that was done here?
That was done here. I watched the first season of that. Was it good? It was not bad.
I thought the premise was kind of good.
The premise is cool. It's kind of like, in terms of TV, it was sort of like Lost meets...
Twin Peaks,
yeah, kind of. Kind of. He's in sort of like a fake town and everyone knows, but they don't talk about it.
It's too bad because it was such a great cast and a great...
But they came back for season two like way after.
Yeah.
Like it got canceled and then they brought it back years later, which I didn't see. So now here's my thing.
Yeah.
If we were to just leave it at Wayward Pines, which did one season and got canceled, I don't think it got very great reviews. I think it's sort of a cult classic, that kind of thing. We would say he's firmly in movie jail, but lately...
he's not.
But lately, he's directed Split.
And don't forget about The Visit.
Oh, yeah, The Visit.
Which was good.
I didn't write that one down for some reason.
I liked it.
The Visit, which was like, I think, a low budget...
It was just this bizarre show about how these kids go to their grandparents. Oh, my God, you got to watch it.
But then recently, he's done Split and Glass, which are tied into Unbreakable.
Yeah, now Split was quite good. The only one I haven't seen is Glass. I have not seen Glass.
But here's the thing. Split did very well. 62 Metacritic. That's almost as good as Sixth Sense.
Yeah, I like Split.
Then Glass dips down to 43.
Right.
Okay. What's the deal? I think he's done more bad movies than good movies.
Do you think that, though?
Well, the numbers don't lie, bro.
I know, but you should watch them. You go to watch The Village and Lady in the Water.
So what do you think? Okay, so
Lady in the Water is very up for debate.
What do you think is the deal? Because, okay, do you remember he didn't direct it, but there was a movie he wrote and produced called The Devil? And it was like about an elevator.
I saw that. Yeah, I was fucked. That was fucked.
When I saw, I can't remember what movie I was going to see, but the trailer came on for that.
Yeah.
And when his name came up, the entire theater groaned. Like a collective room of strangers all went at the same time. Ugh. It was fucking hilarious.
I know, man.
Because this was probably just after The Happening or The Airbender.
I don't know. Like, people groan about McDonald's, yet when you drive by there, there's a fucking line up out the goddamn street for
a drive-thru.
So that's
what he is. He's M. Night McDonald's. He's the McDonald's of the film industry. You don't want to like him, but people do.
But you love those fucking fries every now and again.
Look at that. Like those ratings for Lady in the Water and The Village, which I've heard great reviews from lots of people.
The Village is cool. Just watch it.
No. I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm just saying, like, so why are the numbers so bad?
I don't know.
Do you think that he fills a niche in the audience? Yeah.
I think everyone's just waiting on his next Sixth Sense.
They've been waiting for a long time. For 21 years.
Well, he's got one coming out. No title yet. Untitled M. Night Shyamalan Universal Project.
Oh, really?
With Thomasin McKenzie from the girl from...
Leave No Trace. Leave No Trace.
And a guy that me and you both know quite well, Rufus Sewell.
Oh, get out. Really?
Who I accidentally called Rupert one time, and he let me know that his name was Rupert.
Oh, fuck off, mate. That story you told when you're holding the umbrella for him.
Oh, fuck.
Hey, free water.
Oh, fuck off.
He's a good dude.
He is a good dude. Good Matt, actor, too.
Man in the High Castle, if anyone's wondering.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Do you have someone on
who's
your list
my next?
There?
My next person is interesting and needs to be talked about.
Do you?
He goes by the. Oh, what do I?
Do
have
you one? Have two more or one more?
I could have one. I could have two. I could have three.
I only have one more to talk about, and it's sort of a hypothetical. I just want to get your opinion on it.
Okay, my next one. This guy needs to be talked about.
Okay.
His name is Richard Kelly.
Oh.
Okay.
I don't know who that is.
Okay, but you know Donnie Darko.
Oh, shit. Yep.
Right? So he burst onto the scene, but not really, because Donnie Darko came out in 2001.
Donnie Darko was totally... Like, this is right when I was starting to discover that there were more movies than the fucking big studios, you know? And Donnie Darko, I saw right when it was released on video.
Right.
So it was kind of a hidden gem in its heyday.
Absolutely, it was. But the thing, that's what happened with it, is that it was, the script was presented to the studio in, like, whenever they did it, like, 1999. You know who's in Donnie Darko, which is so weird? Seth Rogen. He's one of the bullies in it, and he's only in it for, like, a second. But
really?
Anyway, yeah. So that they had Donnie Darko, and they some people funded it, and a bunch of people read the script. What's his name again? God, Jason Schwartzman was supposed to play Donnie Darko.
Right.
But then he dropped out because of scheduling, blah, blah, blah. So then they got Jake Gyllenhaal to do it and Maggie Gyllenhaal to do it. Drew Barrymore did it because she loved the script so much.
She produced it, right?
Yeah. And then, or did she produce it?
Co-produced it?
Yeah, I think so. Something like that. She was involved in getting it just made, right? And then they thought, oh, well, they can just make it. And I mean, it had Patrick Swayze attached to it. He was in it. It had all these people. So they were like, okay, let's give them a set amount of money and they'll make it. Noah Wiley was in it. They'll make it and then they'll take it to Sundance and then a bunch of people will buy it. That was the idea with Donnie Darko.
Right.
Right. But then they made it. They took it to Sundance and there was all these other really good movies at Sundance at the time.
Yeah. I feel like that was the years of where these little movies are starting to get made.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Like it's a lot. Digital was now a thing, and actually, was digital a thing? No.
Not yet. Digital was still yet to come out. But you know that fucking Christopher Nolan still shoots on film. Fuck.
A few people do.
Yeah. So, anyways, they took it to Sundance. Then I think at Sundance, it was like there was all these other shows that were getting all this hype. I can't remember what they were at the time, but. Somebody bought it, and it did get released. Oh, sorry. In the Bedroom was a show at Sundance. Memento was at Sundance.
Oh, fuck. Christopher Nolan.
Yeah. So Hedwig and the Angry Inch was also kind of like an indie buzz film, right? And Donnie Darko kind of just fell to the wayside a bit, right? But then somebody did buy it. They released it in October of 2001 through IFC. And then it was a flop, and it only grossed $110,000. It did end up making $500,000 afterwards, but then 9/11 happened, right?
Right.
So it kind of fucking knocked it out of the fucking water. And then it got re-released later on in 2004. They released a director's cut of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they released it on video, on DVD, and it like exploded, right?
Oh, so that's when I saw it.
Yeah, so they released it on DVD. Remember they released it in like that tin...
Yeah.
And it was like Donnie Darko director's cut of like a tin case. Mm-hmm. And it was all cool. It had the skull rabbit on the front that was like debossed. And it was like, oh, this is awesome. Everybody bought that and they made a fucking ton of money off that. So Richard Kelly kind of struggled a bit. And then he made Southland Tales, which was kind of, it had The Rock in it and stuff. Did not get very good reviews.
Mm, yeah, I've never even heard of that.
The Rock, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Sean William Scott. Sounds like kind of an early 2000s can't miss.
Yeah, I mean, that's the lineup that you'd want in that, that year.
But it was a flop and didn't do well. And then he made a movie called The Box in 2009. Which I saw, and you know, it was it was okay, but again, it was a big flop, and he hasn't done anything since. He has upcoming projects that are in development, but he has nothing solid on the radar.
Yeah, he's got there's no writing credits, no directing credits.
No. And to me, I mean, Donnie Darko was a very well-made movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I think that the last two, it's like, I'm not sure what happened with Southland Tales and with The Box, but to me, Donnie Darko is so underrated. Even in its cult success, it's very underrated, I think, because the soundtrack is so great. The score is so great in it.
Well, it was a movie at the time that was really like mind bending.
Totally.
Right. It was very cerebral.
The time traveling and the wormholes.
And then it also, like Jake Gyllenhaal, who you and I both love.
Awesome.
His character, I mean, I haven't seen it in so long, but his character is sort of not the protagonist that you're used to.
No.
Right? Because it's easy in 20, like, I liked how when we had Grandma and Grandma was talking about 2020 eyes.
Yeah.
It's true. Like when you look back at Donnie Darko and 2020 eyes, you're like, yeah, it's a great film, but at that time in 2001, like, there weren't films like that.
No, it was definitely very out there,
right? Like, he's like so angsty and moody, and he sees a weird rabbit. Like, it's like so fucking weird.
Yeah, but it all made sense at the end.
I
loved it. I still, like, to this day, I watch it usually like once a year.
Do you?
Yeah,
I should rewatch it, because I remember when I watched it the first time, I watched it like five times again, like just again and again and again.
I love listening to the soundtrack around Halloween.
Mm.
It really gets me in the mood for Halloween. I don't know why. It's so great.
It's coming up.
I know. And you know what's funny? I feel bad for poor Ben Krakowski, my boss right now, who we know and love.
Because there's not going to be a lot of Halloween.
Well, because no, get this. For the first time in I don't know how long, but a long time, Halloween this year is on a Saturday.
Oh, and it's a full moon, right?
It's a full fucking moon.
Yeah.
So all the Halloween lovers out there, Ben obviously included, are really sad.
Damn.
Because it only happens once a millennium. No.
Oh.
But it's like once every what? Like six years or seven years or something like that, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a fucking meteorologist. Who else do you got, bro?
Okay, well, I have one more, but I haven't really done any research on him. I just thought it would be interesting because it's such a recent offense.
Okay.
It'd be interesting to just talk about whether we think he's going to go to jail forever. I'm talking about Tom Hooper.
Oh, yeah.
Who most recently directed Cats, which I haven't seen. Because this is a director who has a pretty good resume.
I don't think he will go.
You don't think so?
No, I don't.
Among other things, he has directed Les Mis. He's directed The King's Speech, which was that won Best Picture. The Danish Girl, which I haven't seen, but I that's always on.
I haven't seen it either, but it's a good movie.
It's always on good like lists. It's on my watch list. It's been on there forever. And then Cats, and he did his Dark Materials for HBO, which I don't know if that did well or not.
I never saw it.
It's based on a series of very popular books.
He's a producer on it, yeah.
But Cats, I mean, that.
It was a big offense, man.
Big offense, because not only was it a financial flop, but like
it had
it's like notoriously
made fun of.
Yeah, like I don't know what the word is, like unnerving. It makes people uncomfortable.
I think it did.
And, like, and even from the first trailer, people were like, what the fuck are you guys doing over there?
And it was like word of mouth slandering.
Yeah.
Like everybody was talking like about how stupid it was.
Infamous.
And, yeah.
It's infamous.
It's infamous. Yeah.
I haven't seen it. Remember where there was a brief moment where you and I were both going to watch it and talk about it?
I almost wanted to just to see what the fuck. It was like Geely. Like they should have advertised it as a stupid movie to go see as a joke with your friends.
Like a high budget spoof.
Exactly.
Like it would have done
see it just a lot.
It probably would have done better. It's got a 32 Metacritic score, 2.8 out of 10 on IMDb. Oh. Not good. And like, look at this. Look at the fucking cast, man.
Well, I've been listening to our old podcasts as of recent. And
yeah.
I told you there was one time when I was telling you about how I was half asleep watching the trailer. And yes. I remember because I woke up and it was like on a YouTube thing and it was like new trailer for Cats. And I'm watching it and I'm like, I honestly questioned if I was awake. I'm like, am I awake?
It's like
now?
A weird fever dream.
Yeah, because it was so strange. The concept of it.
How do you wrangle Ian McKellen, Judi Dench, Rebel Wilson, Taylor Swift,
Idris Elba?
Like, how do you get away with having that much star power in a movie
James
that is?
I don't know, because I think actors, ones that they look at that kind of thing as a theater sort of nostalgic and.
Yeah.
Could you imagine
calling Dame Judi Dench and then let's say just for shits and giggles that Sir Ian McKellen is also on the call. Like they're having lunch together and you call him like, hey, I have a great idea. You remember Cats? Oh yes. The famous stage play by Broadway, Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yeah.
I want to do a film about that. Oh, yeah. Really interesting. I'm going to put you in CGI fur and make you look like a weird fucking
overweight cat.
Yeah. and then they say yes. That's so fucking weird to me.
Well, and then people are mad at Keanu Reeves for saying no to Speed 2. And it's like, why?
Yeah, maybe they got held hostage.
Maybe they did.
Just like we get held hostage on set with a cell phone.
Story. Gotta watch this YouTube video, man. You look at the time and it's like 8:56. You're like, no. God.
Well, Tom Hooper has nothing upcoming.
No, he doesn't.
But I mean, Cats just came out last year, so it's going to be interesting to see if he gets another chance.
I don't think he'll be in movie jail.
You think he'll get away with it?
I think.
Do you think that balances out with King's Speech?
And I don't
like a one for
I,
one.
I didn't even like the King's Speech. It's
you
not
didn't
my
like
thing.
It, but you no. liked Les Mis.
Yeah, Les Mis. Yeah, I like Les Mis. Yeah, I thought they could have done better with Les Mis.
You think so?
Yeah.
I never saw the older one. What's
Hugh Jackman? Or no?
No, he was in the
Who
new
was
one,
in the
right?
old one? Cameron Diaz was in the old one, wasn't she?
I don't know. I didn't see that one. But I've never seen it on stage either, so that was my only...
I saw it. Well, my mom worked on it, the theater one, right?
The theater one.
Yeah. So I've seen the theater show a bunch, like probably 12 times.
Maybe that's why you didn't like the film version.
Well, it had a big shoes to fill.
But I mean, it made sense that he did Cats because he did Les Mis, and I think Les Mis was a success, wasn't it?
Like money wise?
Yeah.
Probably.
It got 63 Metascore.
And 7.6
10.
If anything, it was a launching pad for Eddie Redmayne. So that's good.
Nah, he was already popular by then, wasn't he?
Well, I don't know.
He's great.
He's all right. No, he is good. He's already won 2 Oscars, hasn't he, Eddie Redmayne? I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
For supporting?
Yeah. For lead, didn't he? Stephen Hawking, that one.
Oh.
And didn't he win for The Danish Girl, too?
I don't know.
We better start.
I kind of don't really, shit. I don't really pay attention to the Oscars too much. But no, you're right, because he was in a few things before Les Mis. But right after Les Mis was all his, like, Theory of Everything was 2 years later. Oh, he was in Jupiter Ascending. Ooh. I'm surprised he's not in movie jail.
Who else do you got?
Fuck, that's it. I'm
what
tapped
time
out.
Are we at?
We're just over an hour.
I got one more.
Okay, hit us with a bonus round.
Okay, her name is Mimi Leader.
Okay. Notable works?
Notable works is Pay It Forward.
Oh.
I've worked with her.
Oh, really?
So she's really nice. And I don't think she's technically in movie jail, but some people think that she's kind of gone more into a TV jail.
Oh, yeah. Right? I'm looking at her thing and she's done a lot of TV years recently.
Yeah. No, Pay It Forward. She did Deep Impact. She did The Peacemaker.
Ooh.
Right. So she had a sort of streak of like big features, right?
Mm-hmm.
She did TV for a long time, bro. Holy shit, man. 1987, she was doing shit. Deep Impact was pretty good.
I think it suffered because it came out at the same time as Armageddon.
Pay It Forward was a flop.
Yeah. Right? But it was popular.
It was, and people like, they were like, oh, fucking, they thought it was so cheesy and so stupid, but it had a good message.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was more of a flop just because it had Jay Moore in it. Speaking of movie jail, whatever fucking happened to that guy?
Holy I forgot Helen Hunt was in that movie.
And she was okay in it. So, anyways, Pay It Forward was just so bad. I've worked with Mimi Leader twice, it looks like on here. Although I don't
Human remember. Target?
Human Target and the Heavenly, which they're calling it a short film, but it was actually a pilot that never got picked up.
Oh, I see. So they must have aired it somewhere.
And it had Ryan Eggold and Lauren Cohen in it,
who
are now pretty successful TV actors.
Now, it looks...
And she's really nice. She's really great. I think she just got swallowed up by the you know, the looming
this is Hollywood my bullshit. Hypothesis based on just the timeline of her directing credits. Okay? So she did Deep Impact, she did Pay It Forward, and then she moves to TV.
Yeah.
There's, like, single episodes of some kind of mediocre small TV. She does an episode of The West Wing, but just one. She does a little bit of ER. She comes up here and does some work, but now, most recently, she's doing kind of these bigger shows, Shameless, The Leftovers, and most recently, The Morning Show.
The Morning Show is a big deal.
And she did four episodes of that, which is only one season, so that's a good sign.
And you know what? She's a good director, and she's really nice. I think she got...
Do you think it was by choice almost?
I think she... Well, maybe by choice, but I also think part of me where she did those big movies, and she was probably bullied by the fucking dickhead male producers, I'm sure.
Yeah, in the late 90s, early 2000s, sure. For sure.
Of course, right? For sure. And then she... Oh, you'll never... Who knows? That's the thing, really, right?
Oh, you're never going to make it in this business, sweetheart.
Wait, isn't that Sheldon?
Yeah, that's Sheldon. He produces also.
He sure does. That's actually how a lot of people from LA sound.
Yeah, The Morning Show I haven't... And she's got some upcoming projects too. So that's good. It's interesting. Like, I wonder if like the quote-unquote prestige TV is sort of a safe haven now for...
Well, and...
For
and
some talents that are...
A lot of people, you know... Get older too, and yeah. And directing a fucking big movie is a lot of
it's pressure. A lot of work. It's like 2 or 3 years of your life because you do the prep and then you do the production and then you're in post and then you gotta shop it around too, right?
And you just making it in itself, like it's a lot of responsibility.
There's a lot of pressure as opposed to if you come on to do 2 or 3 episodes of a TV show. I mean, you know. You're only in charge of those episodes.
I totally understand.
The characters are already created. They're cast. The sets are built. Like, you just really have to come in and direct the story, right? Whereas if you're directing a feature, that's all on you. It's like, well, what do you want the person's house to look like?
Yeah.
What's the color scheme? Like, what's, you know, they, you have so much that you have to.
And yeah, it's such a huge responsibility. Like, it's just like a cascade of fucking decisions and.
Yep.
Bullshit. It's like an avalanche of fucking time and pressure and just, oh my God.
And what people,
there's
what
so people many problems and
don't understand sometimes about move, like the film industry and TV industry, but especially feature films and especially big feature films, is that there's very little guidance. Like, you are really creating something out of nothing. Mm-hmm. You get a script, but that's not even set in stone. Like, you're like, okay, we're going to get rid of this character and we're going to add this as a set, and then we're gonna, you know, instead of a bike, I'm gonna have them ride a scooter. Like, there's so many things. Like, that script is almost completely different by the time you go to camera.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah. And you're in charge of everything. Creating.
And there's just so many fucking problems.
So many there's problems. There's
thousands of problems.
So many
along
problems.
The way. Like, even on the show I'm on now, because our office is kind of in the next to the sort of big wigs kind of people, mm-hmm. just by chance. And I'm just listening to the stuff they're talking about and adding COVID on top of it. I'm like, oh my God, these people, I feel so bad for them.
Yeah.
I really do. I my heart goes out to the people in charge right now.
Yeah.
I really do, because COVID, it just makes everything 30% more difficult than it was, right?
Yeah.
Just to make this stupid shit happen.
My only opinion, I mean, there's so many ins and outs, but my thing is, like, I think we just need to extend all the schedules.
That's kind of what they're doing.
And that's what I've been hearing. Like, I heard our show's schedule has been extended, and because it's just like, you just have to accept that it's going to be take slower. Longer.
Right. Yeah. Well, and even, yeah, exactly. And you know, touching on it again, Hollywood, you know, in itself, right, can be a tough place to fucking be, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel, and leaving it on Mimi Leader, it's like, she is an example of fucking how females in Hollywood it's a tougher time for them, right?
Way tougher.
It's a tougher for people of color. I mean, hopefully that changes.
Yeah.
Now that things are slowly starting to change, but that's how it's been.
In my short time in film, I've definitely seen a lot more female directors, people of color directors on shows recently. And it's great, because I think a lot of them, I can't say it for all of them, but a lot of them, they really fucking show up, man. They show up having done their own work. And they are ready to rock. And they know what they're doing. They know what they want. They're so friendly, like, because they know, like, I got the shot.
Okay, but speaking of this topic that we should touch on before we wrap it up here.
Yeah.
Do you know who died yesterday?
Yes.
Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
43.
So fucking sad, dude.
So sad.
Like in light of everything that's happening right now, like, Black Panther dies. Like,
yeah.
Fuck, man. Like.
Well, he was such a promising performer, an artist.
And he did a lot.
Yeah.
Like, he was in every fucking show, right? And I've said that before. Like, I feel bad almost now, but I always kept saying, like, geez, they need to, like, diversify a bit, because Chadwick Boseman does, like, every role. But he was such a great actor.
Yeah.
That's why they kept giving him, like, he was making a movie every, constantly, wasn't he? He comes out with two a year. He did.
And then he's also kind of the reverse of what we were talking about, like, Frank Darabont. It was like, he passed away, and everyone was like, he was just such a positive, amazing person, like, you know, like his personality. And you know what? When you're like that, when you're a good person like that, plus talented, you the fucking world is your oyster.
I know.
Because everyone wants to hire you, because you know that you're going to be easy to deal with, and, you know.
I know. He's so sad, dude.
It is.
43 years old. That's 3 years older than me.
I know. It's too young.
Oh, this poor guy, man. What else can happen in this world? Anyways.
Lots.
Well, you know what? God bless.
Well, we're thinking of him.
Prayers go out to him. Great actor.
Yeah.
Great guy. The world needed him right now, but I guess that's not what's going to happen. So,
gone too soon.
Fuck, man. Well, on a positive note, he will live on.
Yes,
forever.
That's true.
Chadwick Boseman,
immortalized.
Yeah. Anyways, bro, sad note to leave it on, but had to be said.
Well, I enjoyed talking about Movie Jail, because it's such a strange concept.
It's not set in stone, but it is real.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But it's a good example of how fickle things can be.
Oh, dude, completely.
You know, but then there is another side of it. As like, if you trust someone with like $100 million,
absolutely,
you don't get it back.
That's what I've been trying to say a lot of times. People always have these questions about films. They always say, and television. They say, well, how come this person and how come that person? And yes, there's a lot of stupid decisions made along the way. But inevitably, the people who invest in it, they want to get a return on investment.
Yeah. Right. It's so a business.
100%. And it's a big business, right? Yeah. So they want things to be, they want their money back and more.
Yeah.
As would anybody who invested money in anything. Yeah. Right.
The only caveat is that it's not like you're investing in a stock where like that company's going to sell a bunch of units because it does a thing. Like that's a little more concrete. Where it's like you're kind of investing millions of dollars into something that people might like or not like.
Yeah.
Like that's what it comes down to, right?
You're selling dreams.
You're selling dreams.
But sometimes they do.
All right. Well, anyways, thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks to Uncle Dan for our music and my sister Amanda for our graphics. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Clayton.
I'm Jordy.
This has been the Props Cast.
Bye.
Bye.